Welcome to Generation Now. I'm Troy McDonald. With over 8 million views on YouTube, chances are, if you've been looking for a job during the pandemic, you've watched a video from my guest today. Known as the self-made millennial, she has helped millions refocus, recharge, and enter the next chapter of their lives. With over 4 million people leaving the workforce in the United States in recent months, and many reevaluating their work and enter the next chapter of their lives. With over 4 million people leaving the workforce in the United States in recent months, and many reevaluating their work-life balance, what are some ways that you can take advantage of the market and find the best job ever? Here to help us today navigate these waters, please welcome to the program the self-made millennial, Madeline Mann. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Troy. Happy to be here.
So let's just start from the top. What are some of the trends that you're seeing right now, especially for young people, millennials like us and Gen Z?
So what I've been seeing is there is really this need for so many newer skills in the market, such as when you look at a lot of the jobs that are popping up, there's some jobs that—
Fast enough for employers in teaching.
Absolutely. There's some really interesting skills, obviously, in the tech space, in data science, in all these different coding, you have VPs and stuff, and lots of needs for everyone to be learning these new skills that maybe colleges, universities haven't taught people. And so also, like, I think that one thing I'm noticing is that the phrase, you know, 20 plus years experience in digital marketing or marketing, it's an empty, that's a really interesting advantage I've seen, to where it actually is evening the playing field a little.
You say that people, and I love this, it appears in a lot of your content, that people need to soul search before the job search. But how long should that period of soul searching be? Fascinating, because it seems that the labor force and what employers are expecting is moving faster than kind of the old guard education system. I've seen a lot of courses, whether that's through Coursera or other startups, where they are teaching, like you said, these boot camps for coding and tech skills. What are some of those skills that you mentioned that the education system, at least right now in general, isn't moving fast enough for employers in teaching?
Absolutely. There's some really interesting skills, obviously, in the tech space, in data science, in all these different coding languages. But then there's also really important skills like copywriting, like all these different digital marketing. Say, okay, wait, that's not the type of company for me. So really just making sure you're being proactive about those conversations, because the long is one that I'm seeing pop up with so many different companies. And so really, you know, utilizing these skills, and also, like, I think that one thing I'm noticing is that the phrase, you know, 20 plus years experience in digital marketing or marketing, it's an empty phrase unless you've been leveling up every single year. And I think we're seeing that across so many different professions due to the speed of going into the workforce, because they have really faced the situation where typically when you are a more junior level employee, you get to go into the office and shadow people and see the way.
Love this. It appears in a lot of your content that people need to soul search before the job search. But how long should that period of soul searching be with so many openings out there? You almost have to strike while the iron is hot. So how do you balance the soul searching with the job search in this environment?
One of the things people think often is that you need to take a job in order to know if you would like that job. And that simply isn't true. What's most important when you're soul searching before you job search is that you
keep stretching that date out to when they want to bring their people back into the office
possible, and getting a realistic understanding of what their career actually looks like. So that means doing informational interviews, asking them the nitty gritty
or work from home options. When you're having that internal discussion, when do you know that
and how long it took them to get where they are and what skills they needed to get there. And the thing is if before you do this, you understand your values, what you care about in a role, maybe you really like to do team, have teamwork. Maybe you really require that. And I'm like, would I be able to pilot a 4-day work week for 3 weeks and report back to my output? Things like that, where you're saying this is going to help the business. And so having those proactive conversations, it's the not, if you really understand what you actually want in your next role, at least the values basis, you really talk about not only the value you've already added, but how the salary is an investment and all the things you are looking to build for the company in the future, and you know how you have grown in this role to where your value has increased. And so I think if you're having these conversations and the employer is receptive, they don't necessarily have to already have a plan set for you. But if they are looking and willing to co-talk, you want to be able to be in it fits better with the lifestyle you're looking for, then I would say stay there. But it really always comes back to, all right, if there's certain non-negotiables and they are not meeting them, you know, that might be meaning that you might need to look at opportunities elsewhere.
And it seems like in this market that employers are more apt to...
The long way is the short way. It really is where if you are able to figure out what role employee, then hire another one. So if they are truly savvy and strategic with their business, then yes, they will really work with the employee to make sure that it is on a way higher trajectory than you making lateral moves throughout your career trying to find the right match.
Really interesting. We've seen so many people leave the workforce, as I mentioned at the top. Is the boom almost over? What effect do you think, as we've seen the Delta wave, now we have the Omicron wave, almost bringing us back to, in some ways, 2020, not exactly, we have vaccines, but we have shutdowns coming back and schools going remote, at least for a couple of weeks in January. What effect do you think that could have on this really employee-centered boom?
I would say it's really interesting, especially for younger several times in a row, that will send up a red flag. Why? Because employers are extremely risk averse. They really want someone who, you know, if they're going to invest all this time and money, employee ramping them up, that they don't want this person to leave very quickly. So I would say that it really, like, leaving a job soon after you take it is not a bad thing. And I think in our lives, we need to listen to ourselves, and it's okay to have what I call an oopsie job, where you hop in, you're like, okay, this isn't it. But really do your work to make sure you're soul searching before you're job searching, and understanding if that company's right for you before taking the role. One of my best tips that I have personally done for every job, and my clients do it as well, is calling former employees of the company and chatting with them. Of course, you know, you ask them first if you can talk. You don't get that in-person experience. You don't get those networking experiences. The positive is that you could work for amazing companies that for the first time are opening internships to everyone in the country. And so as long as you are mining these opportunities and you are potentially even reaching out to companies and offering your expertise, I think there's the amount of opportunity, if you are looking for
got it
and seeking it out, you can actually have so much more of a specific opportunity that you're grasping versus if you were locked to a certain location.
Right. And I think
a job description is a wish list. And often that wish list is really long, especially at the beginning of a hiring process. A hiring manager will write down this unicorn person on
situation for a little bit longer, an employee
put it out there, and the hiring team comes back to them and says, look, I don't think this person exists. Or if they do, there's about
there are people back into the office, and we don't know when they will and if they ever will. Should another thing that I've seen too, that some experts have mentioned, is, well, before you leave a job, you should speak with your boss or the higher ups and kind of redesign the job, maybe cut back on hours or include more work from home options. When you're having that internal discussion, when do you know that that's the right alternative to take.
They want you to convince them that you have everything because they want to stop the dang hiring process. They want it to be over. And so really making sure that you are doing that, you're doing yourself advice. And it's really, it's never an ultimatum. It should always be a win-win. So what you want to do is never say, hey, you know, yeah, I'm working too many hours. Like I need to go, or with this needs to change. You know, you never want to say something like that. Instead, you want to really have a conversation of, hey, you know, I'm noticing that I'm really productive when I actually am doing like a 4-day work week. Like I'm able, and I'm like, would I be able to pilot a 4-day work week for 3 weeks and report back to my output? Things like that, where you're saying this is going to help the business. And so having those proactive conversations, always understanding it from the business perspective of whatever it is, right? If you want to get more money, asking what is the path to a raise? Or if you feel like you've already made it, do all these easy applies. So the issue is that the people who are wonderfully qualified, like your listeners, they're not being seen. And so actually these things that help to scan the resumes, these aspects of the applicant tracking system can actually be in the future, and you know how you have grown in this role to where your value has increased. And so I think if you're having these conversations, and what's so important is to first measure your job search by interactions and not applications. So instead of trying to beat these applicant tracking systems, make sure that you're building relationships instead. So that is the most and willing to co-create this path for you and an evolving role that fits better with the lifestyle you're looking for, then I would say stay there. But it really always comes back to, all right, if there's certain non-negotiables and they are not meeting them, you know, that might be meaning that you might need to look at opportunities elsewhere.
And it seems like in this market that employers are more apt to consider that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like they're wanting to retain as many of their employees as they mentioned, that it's about building relationships, that it's not what you know, but it's who you know. What if you don't have those connections? You mentioned reaching out and setting up those meetings. Are people really open to accepting?
Less to retain an employee than hire another one. So if they are truly savvy and strategic with their business, then yes, they will really work with the employee to make sure that it is a great situation all around.
One thing that I've been asked and had conversations with other millennials like myself and some members of Gen Z is they do exactly like what you said at the top. They go into a job and they realize, hey, this is not working out. But they're afraid to leave because it might look bad for a future employer if they've only been there 6 months or a year. So is there some sort of guide to know that, hey, do I have to stay a year? Can I leave after 6 months or a few months? How do employers look at that?
Troy, that's such a good question. And really what employers look for are patterns. Patterns can be anything. Patterns are often achiever patterns. So patterns of constantly getting promoted, constantly, you know, doing well in school and then having, you know, great jobs where, you know, you're consistently recognized, all those things. But they also look for patterns of job hopping and picking a job and then leaving immediately, either because you were unsuccessful in that job or you got bored quickly or you were constantly looking for the next thing. And I have been in hundreds, maybe even of thousands of interview debriefs at this point. And hiring managers are very nervous if they see the pattern of job hopping and I would say job hopping, it really depends on the industry. But if you're at jobs for under a year that are not short-term jobs, like they were meant to be full-time several times in a row, that will send up a red flag. Why? Because employees, they don't know how to ask for it and how to unearth it. So it's kind of up to you to make sure that you're going in with a game plan and so that they're getting the right information.
That is so true. So true. And again, so many aha moments that I haven't even thought about. And that's why you are the self-made millennial, which I want to talk about a little bit about, because you've built your career not only as this coach, but you've kind of helped other people, millions of people across the country and the world, realize some of these tips through your YouTube channel. And so there are a lot of young people, millennials, Gen Z.
In our lives, we need to listen to ourselves, and it's okay to have what I call an oopsie job, where you hop in, you're like, okay, this isn't it. But really do your work to make sure you're soul searching before you're job searching, and understanding if that company's right for you before taking the role. One of my best tips that I have personally done for every job, and my clients do it as well, is calling former employees of the company and chatting with them. Of course, you know, you ask them first if you can talk with them, but it's amazing how many of them will share what it was like to work there. And that can really give you a very clear signal of whether or not you want to take that job. I liked video content, so I went for YouTube. And from there, I went on to LinkedIn. From there, I went on to TikTok. And
that there are so many people out there who heard that and are like, ah, oh, they're breathing a sigh of relief because they feel really this internal guilt that they may have failed at something, especially right out of school, right out of college, right? They feel like, oh, well, everything is supposed to work out now. And sometimes it just doesn't. And that's okay. Oopsie job. I love that.
Yeah, Troy. And I would say that if you are someone who is just out of college, having several short stint jobs is very normal. It's more when you get into the stride of your career.
You are extremely entertaining and engaging, and you've built a huge audience. But I think we also have to be real for some people that maybe that's not, being on camera is not going to be the role for them. But what are some of the other ancillary
contractor? Then that's the red flag. Oh, that's interesting. So the ancillary jobs around my business, are you thinking about like, what are some of the
right? We're going down the pipeline here. You have decided to leave. The job person, job seeker has decided to leave their current employer. What if your qualifications don't exactly align with a position? I know you can't be a freaking brain surgeon with no education. I'm not saying that, but if you're missing one or two things that the employer is looking for, should you still submit that application anyway?
Programs. And then of course there's, you know, graphic design and then really also, you know, any kind of copywriting and all of that. So yeah, there's so many different elements that go into it. You see one YouTube video, it seems fine. It seems good, but there's so much behind the scenes that really makes it all come to fruition.
Well, Madeline, I cannot thank you so much for your time. Your answers here today have just helped so many people out there, all of our listeners. How can people get a hold of you? How can they watch more of what you do?
Absolutely. Find me on YouTube, youtube.com/selfmademillennial, Selfmade Millennial also on TikTok, and head over to madelinemann.com to get a lot of free resources, free email templates, all the stuff you need, as well as you can check out more information on coaching.
Well, thank you so much, Madeline, for being here.
Thank you.
Madeline Mann is the CEO and founder of Selfmade Millennial. Until next time, bye, everybody.